Okay, interactive podcasting. Let me start with the conventional lecture podcasting that we all know is a one-way delivery system. The advantage to students is really the time shifting of delivery. They can fast forward, they can rewind content. It's really just content pushing towards the students in a convenient way. What I would like to do is shift the focus from content delivery to actual participation. So I thought that interactive podcasting is the expansion of the one-way delivery system, shifting emphasis from information delivery to active dialogue and knowledge construction, of course. So it's an aim to shift and depart from input education to output education. So it makes a paradigmatic shift in education practice. The focus is designing learning spaces for students to produce and output their own understanding and knowledge. So it's really the underpinning philosophy is self-organizing communities of learners will engage in personal knowledge sharing and expansion through active participation with minimal teacher direction. It's not like there's no teacher input or direction. You will see that I have various ways of trying to stimulate thinking. So there is teacher direction. But what I do, I try to design up front, and then it's more a hands-off approach afterwards. So I would like to let the students mingle in their own space, seeing what comes out of that. I teach values education and philosophy in education, so I'm also quite interested in trying to teach my teacher education students not just what's happening but why, so the underlying philosophies, and I'm very much centered around the radical constructivist end of the spectrum where there's an intersection between social constructivism and connectivism, as exemplified so very nicely last year by Stephen Downs and George Simmons as well in his writings. My main interest probably in LAMS, and the one that I've explored most, is a theme-based asynchronous learning dialogue. I'm not a big fan of synchronous dialogue online, because I think if people are in the same room, it is much easier to face them and talk to them. So I don't see the need to go on a computer to chat to each other when you're in the same room. So I'm still not convinced of the value-adding nature of synchronous dialogues all in a computer lab together. What I like is when students can go off, do their own thing, and log on and talk to each other or have a dialogue when they want, how they want, when they're not in the same physical space. So the underpinning idea is purposeful dialogue. So it's not just a social chit-chat that goes on Facebook. I'm also a member of my son's Facebook, and I have to tell you a little story there. I've got a 16-year-old son, and I'm also logged onto Facebook, and sometimes I listen to that chit-chat that goes on between him and various of his 100 or 1,000 of friends, and I say, what's the purpose of this? It's just, you know, filling space with something. Oh, I'm hungry now, so probably I have to open the fridge. So, you know, that's not purposeful dialogue. Maybe it is for him. But, you know, I want to shift from that social chit-chat that our students are so very familiar with to purposeful learning dialogues. So it is a process of meaning-making in a very different kind of sense than a Facebook chit-chat. I use LAMS for that, and LAMS is integrated with our Blackboard site. And this is a very typical of many of my Blackboard sites. So I have the typical text-based unit outline and resources, everything that we all do. And then I have a unit blog and Twitter where they can just go and chat with each other. And if they really want to do, you know, the Facebook kind of social chit-chat, and some of them do, they can go on to the unit blog that's in Blackboard. And then I have the 12 interactive lecture podcasts that are just lined up, which one of the sequence is the forum activity, which is the purposeful dialogue. So it's a structured forum activity in LAMS. It's personalized deep learning. I also try to sell it to the students as exam preparation, and it's an alignment between the lecture topics, the reading, and the exam. So what I'm trying to do is try to get the students to understand how the lecture, the tutorial, and the reading are all aligned with each other to come to a particular learning outcome, which is then being tested in the exam. So the forum activity is designed as the centerpiece of the interactive lecture podcast. So this is what we just heard this morning, that what we think is the centerpiece and the most important part is not necessarily what students think and how they use it. So there's a mismatch between my ideas and many of the students' ideas. And this is a typical forum activity, where in the lecture I would introduce Anna as a case-based scenario, real-world scenario, a teacher who encounters a problem in the classroom, and then I would go on and say Anna and motivation theory. So I would take the real case scenario from the lecture that I've introduced and marry to the motivation theory in the textbook, and say, so if you look at the textbook here, this is what motivation theory says. And then I would jump to a different section of the textbook, which introduces Maslow's hierarchy of needs, which is also about motivation, but in a different context that students heard before. And then the motivation engagement view. So it's a graphic representation bringing the theory all together. So that's a typical way of structuring the interactivity for students to go in so they can click on and start sharing and talking about these ideas with each other. And just here is a different one where I say on page 447 of your main text, it is noted something, and what do you think about that? So really trying to link very heavily students' understanding of the text with the lecture topic. And that, of course, something like this will feature in the exam. This is another one where the lecture was totally online. So I had an online lecture presentation constructed in Camtasia, where I introduced Bloom's taxonomy of needs and examples and case scenarios. And then I went on to level one, level two, and so forth of Bloom's taxonomy, plus some of the questions. So after the lecture, students could go and, again, marry the text with the lecture and just go on and do some activities. So that was an online tutorial session. The first one was for students just to go and mingle in that space for themselves. The second one, that one, because it was purely online, attracted 1% assignment points. So for students to go and be in the social space and say, hi, I'm here, you know, I'm present, they would get 1 percentage point for that as an incentive. Interestingly, as you can see, level one knowledge construction attracted 10 responses, whereas level six evaluation attracted 2. So students created their own understanding of how to construct an assignment task for level six, which was the hardest. So student, you know, hard things just tend to be left out for a moment. There's second-year students. First-year students. How did I evaluate the usefulness of these interactive podcasts? I've been trying to figure out how to do the research teaching nexus and try to do practitioner-based research for a while now. And I think that the analytic induction methodology is the one that I like most. And I just walk through the steps very quickly. So step one of analytic induction methodology is, what is the utility of a particular practice? In this point, it is interactive podcasting, so identifying a phenomenon that you want to research. Step two is no significant difference between assignment and non-assessment point attached to the podcast utilization. So there's a hypothesis construction. What do I think at this point in time? And I'm going to talk about that a bit later. Step three is a single case development, which the single case was my class of 323 first-year students. And the fourth step is disconfirming results, which will lead to revisiting of the hypothesis. And then step 5 and 6 is the cyclic process. We'll come back to refining the hypothesis so it will match with the case that is there, and then find other cases to see how much other cases will match. So I really do like this. And if you're interested in the methodology, there's quite a large section in the paper on that, and I would love your feedback on this. So my research question was quite simple. What is the potential utility of interactive lecture podcasting in LAMS? And I love to use LAMS for this because it has such a potential, I believe. How willing are students to engage in theme-based online peer-to-peer dialogue as a form of exam preparation when no assignment points are provided? And how willing are students to engage in theme-based online peer-to-peer dialogue as a form of exam preparation when there's a negligible amount of assignment points, which is 1% per podcast, and there were 2 attached to it. And these were my 3 assumptions or hypotheses that I wanted to look at. Willingness to access interactive lecture podcasting online through Blackboard. Social presence will lead to communication and active participation. So that's what I thought. When they go on and revisit the lecture podcast, so the one-way street, the ordinary way of doing it, it will attract them to also come to a cognitive presence from the social presence into the forum and start sharing with each other their understandings. And a third assumption was minimal fluctuation between assessed, non-assessed forum activities. And these are the results. So at the beginning, students were curious when I introduced this idea to them. So you can see quite a lot of students logged on to the first one, and then it rapidly declined until the 2 assessed ones. So students will go a long way for 1 assignment point. And because there was some interest there, there was a tiny bit of interest there, and it fell off again. So my hypothesis was quite wrong there. There is a big difference between assessed and non-assessed activities for students. Unfortunately, I have talked about this in another paper. Result dialogue participation, which looks quite different. The first one was just accessing the podcast, which is the social presence. And this one would be the cognitive presence, where you can see that it is very low for students to actually participate in dialogue in the forum activity. The difference is, again, the 2 assessed ones. And this is where I think that we haven't gotten there yet. Students haven't made the shift from passive learners to active learners, from just give it to me so I can go out, to let me contribute and participate in knowledge construction. Interestingly, students who actually were, you know, in the big bubble at the top said, upon reflection, I realized that after completing this activity, I have a much greater understanding of Bloom's taxonomy. I found that podcasts in conjunction with the lecture notes are a great way to understand a key idea. So again, focusing very much on content, not really on sharing, on constructing their own understanding, although very much liked. The podcast was really useful and easy to understand. It made everything I had read more understandable. So again, that's a forum entry, talking about her experience of the podcast rather than starting to engage in, oh, I really like this, or I have a trouble with that, what do other people think? So we are a long way from the idea of true participation, true knowledge construction together and so forth, I believe, at least in our university, in my school, with my students. What have I learned? Interesting indication of students' ability and willingness to engage. So they absolutely can log on and go and listen to the interactive podcast, listen to the podcast, but do not interact. So 87% of the 323 students showed an ability to log on for the 1 percentage point. 13% didn't go online, but less than 20% actually interacted with each other. a prevalent culture of learned behavior. I think that our students come through school and learn to be students. So, and that learned behavior, to unlearn that behavior and relearn a different behavior, is really hard. So we have a lot of work ahead of us, I think. And just putting the technology in front of them is not going to make it, I think. The other very disturbing idea for me is that the huge dependency on the extrinsic motivation. I mean, you can believe that I did sell this idea to my students quite passionately. I said, look, this is exam preparation. If you do this, you are so well prepared, you will know what will come in the exam. Or they say, oh, that's great. What do? They do it for one percentage point, but not for learning. Assessment is important, but not learning. But in a different way, it's strange. I don't understand it. The monitoring of students' learning behavior and self-management skills, or the lack thereof, is warranted. I believe that we have to do more of the monitoring and the sharing, and maybe you guys know something that I don't, how to get these students to the table to start learning with each other. Maybe I will try to do the same thing again, but with anonymous responses to see if there's a difference. So if students can maybe respond online anonymously, that will have an impact. Maybe. Yeah, I think it would be interesting to do that. Students may need special training to help them understand the value of learning dialogues, especially teacher education students. I think they need to learn that not just the transmission mode of, okay, I learned something from a textbook or from a lecture, but what do I learn when I participate in dialogue and knowledge construction in collaboration with someone else? I think we need to do more on the pedagogy. Conclusion, the interactive lecture podcasts may be one of a number of tools to achieve the goal of increased students' sense of responsibility for their own learning as they undergo a resocialization process. And I think this is what it is. We have to start getting the students onto that path of resocialization from this passive banking system, as Freire says, to more active constructors of knowledge and understanding in collaboration with others. And now I'm looking forward to your questions and comments very briefly.
Tell me more about how what you call the podcast. What did you do?
I stand in front of the lecture city like now. I have my real-life lecture, and I've got a little... That's right. It's just an audio recording.
Just audio.
Yes. If I have the online one, I go into Camtasia, and then I probably have a video one as well, and have some video recording as well, and the lecture slides and so forth. So it's very low key. It's not high tech. It's not flash. It's nothing like this. It's normal audio recordings like Lectopia that you guys have. We just threw ours out. ECU had my lecture and it didn't work very well. So that's the one way. Podcasting service that we offer to students, but I wanted to make it interactive. I wanted to have the dialogue in the center of it rather than the content delivery.
Did they have any problems to solve together after reading? What was the task that they completed?
That was the slides that I showed where they had to go and construct their own, let's say, the Bloom's taxonomy one. They had to go and construct a learning task which would serve level one understanding of students or a level six evaluation. So, you know, from low level, easy tasks to high level, more constructive ones. And then I constructed questions where students had to go away and think and debate with each other. Yeah, what does this mean? You know, in the textbook it says this. What is your point on it? Do you agree or disagree with that? And I always took some controversial kind of ideas out of that. And I had some I started off with very simple, yes, no, to more elaborate kind of discussions and thinking about that. So really going into higher order thinking. That's where I would like to go with the students, but they're not there yet. And they don't even go onto the low order kind of dialogue questions yet.